Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by...
The Truth Straight Up by HappyTrees.co, great landscaping company, and it's not .com, it's HappyTrees.co, and Dr. Julie McCallan and Denver Cenogenics. Hope you guys had a great 4th of July. We had a really nice one. Played a little golf, had a lot of golf. Yeah, a lot of golf, a lot of barbecue, and a lot of fireworks. You know, interestingly, and I hope everybody did too, we were driving home from the fireworks show, and my daughter is with us, and as we're driving home, we're seeing all of these rebel fireworks going off, right? The rogue fireworks, not the officially sanctioned one, and clearly people celebrating and having a good time. And my daughter said, she goes, you know, it makes me proud to be an American. She said, that's what it's all about. People, you know, so what that the city ordinance says you can't set off a little sparkler in your yard. She goes, all these people, I mean, there were a ton of them, weren't there? More than I've seen in a lot, all of which I think is very good news for America. And I think she's right too. It made me proud to be an American to see everybody just saying, hey, we can set off our own fireworks. Yeah. You know, we don't need the government to do everything for us.
Well, it's a practical matter. We're entering in the political non-fireworks stage. Yeah. July is this month in which there are no primaries or anything else. It's kind of a dead period where everybody gets ready for the remaining primaries in August and then the general election. Right now, the establishment and Voldemort is are celebrating, jumping up and
AKA
down.
AKA Phil Anschutz.
Yeah, well, you can't say that.
Oh, name. Sorry.
That's why he's Voldemort. And it's they're just gloating. Michael Fields and George Brockler are gloating that their advanced Colorado Rhinos won their ones So it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't think there's any effort to unite the party. It's just go ahead. You had the Independence Institute thrilled that we have a pro-abortion candidate as our Republican one. Say, well, we don't really like it, but what the heck, you know?
Say this, and then I want to talk about positive stuff, because everybody in America, it seems, has taken the red pill, and that's good news, which is why they were doing their own fireworks. But there have been a lot of articles out there celebrating the fact that moderate, I would call them establishment, rhinos, Republicans won the Colorado primary. And you would think that never happened before. And I was reading all this stuff and they're like, hooray, hooray. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, when was the last time? And, you know, we can look at Walker Stapleton. That's pretty establishment. Bob O'Pre, pretty establishment. I mean, it's not as had a grassroots candidate. Well, let me finish. And so to me, I'm like, okay, you know, fine, but wait before we celebrate and see if they win in November. Because if they win in November, then I'll say, okay, maybe you guys are right. But if they don't win in November, it'd be like, well, yay, we had another moderate candidate who lost. Hooray for us.
All
you know?
Moderate candidates.
Well, all moderate candidates. So, and again,
all anti-Trump in one form.
Keep in
other.
Mind, guys,
maybe,
it's
other than Lauren Boebert.
It's all a psyop, right? It's the corporate media and in cahoots trying to, I mean, all they talked about, the election deniers lost, as if that was the only thing that any of the grassroots candidates ran on. And I guarantee you the cause have already begun for Heidi Ginnall to denounce John Eastman. So here's what's going to happen. It's going to be just like John McCain, right? All these liberal, progressive establishment media types praise the moderate Republican candidate.
Until
the day they win. Mm-hmm. And then they start trashing him. And they're going to force Heidi Ginnall, who managed to skate without having to talk about January 6th. And they're going to try to pressure her to talk about John Eastman. No one cares. I mean, if I were Heidi Ginnall, I'd be like, who? January 6th, is that still a thing? That's so 2020. It's 2022 now, isn't that you have been telling us? So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's going to be, it'll be, November will be very interesting.
It's the one time, and I think the establishment knew that, this is a big red wave year. They put all their money into making sure that every candidate is a rhino anti-Trump person. And it's other than Lauren Bober, but she's come established from her own way now.
I will say this. Heidi Ganahl was on Steve Bannon's War Room, which I thought was a good move. Well, I disagree a little bit. Ooh. I think that was a good move for her. She could have not, right?
She hadn't gone anywhere else.
Well, but I just am saying, we will see. We will see. But what I wanted to talk about was good news, Chuck. Good news. I don't know if you guys have seen the polls, but it's as if COVID, education, everything, everybody, the country, not just conservatives, have taken the red pill. Gallup does an annual poll where they talk about people's trust in like 14 institutions, yeah. Right? And when you look at, I left my notebook upstairs, but in general, nobody trusts any institution anymore. In the media, right? And this, we're talking corporate media, the so-called legacy media, or what Rush Limbaugh called the drive-by media. Only 16% of the people surveyed had any trust at all in newspapers. Only 11% of the people had any trust at all in the TV stations, right? Which is interesting. On education, only 28% of the people trusted public schools. On the presidency, it was like 23%, the lowest it's been ever, and way lower than last year. So people have what I would argue is a completely healthy distrust of the institutions.
Well, the institutions, you know, the so-called long march to the institutions that left began in the late 60s, eventually took all over, you know, from Major League Baseball to NBA to the public schools to everything else. The fight back is coming now, where people just kind of go, screw it, you know. Let's get rid of public education, which is what happened in Arizona this last week.
Right. And we'll get into that in a second, because I want to talk about this. And Dr. Don is saying, so red pill, I guess I always know what that means because I'm like a Matrix movie fan. So in the Matrix, the Samuel Jackson character asked Keanu Reeves, Neo, to have the red pill or the blue pill. And the blue pill, you can continue living in this pretend world that's completely made up, but it's happy. Everybody's happy there. You take the red pill and you see the world for the way it really is. And so I think that's what's happening. You have Americans. I mean, shoot, look at the way that the country was founded, with a healthy distrust of institutions, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, our founding fathers are like, you can't trust government. You can trust yourselves. So we want to build in systems, right, to help that go. And I think people now, I think it's become clear to people. You look at COVID, right? Take the vaccine. You're forced to take the vaccine. You'll be fired if you don't take the vaccine. So you take the vaccine, you get COVID anyway. Then you have to take another vaccine. So you do, you get COVID anyway. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to have all these other side effects. Now they want you to vaccinate your baby. People aren't doing that. And I think what's, I kind of related to people setting off their own fireworks. You know, it's like, you know what? I'm going to set off my own fireworks because I think I can trust myself to, for the most part, not set my own garage on fire. Not always, but for the most part, right? You don't need the police department or your Karen neighbor calling up just saying, oh, their fireworks are scaring my dog. It's one day a year, right? And I think it's the same thing here. People are looking at the institutions. The Tri-County Health Department being disbanded, I think, is another one. You've got, and the Denver Post keeps trying to destroy, saying, oh, it's going to cost people. Health officials are worried. And first of all, no one reads the Denver Post. Only 11% trust it.
Three news gatherers, basically. You have the Denver Post, you have the Colorado Sun, and Colorado Politics. All of them are run by former Denver Post or current Denver Post employees. And so it's always the same stories. Colorado Politics will every once in a while run some bland nothing piece on some bland nothing Republican praising him, but that's about it. And so why read any of them? They're worthless. It's the same, climate change caused the drought or the flood or the sun or the moon or whatever hell it is that comes out. So it's an amazing process where you go, well, I don't want to read any of their stories.
Right. Well, I don't trust any of it. And hey, I should. So today we have sort of open comments. And so feel free if you're on a chat too in the Zoom or want to call in. We're open to talk about anything really today. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. But I do think, though, it is encouraging that after we've, you know, as you said, you look at some of the primary results and it's discouraging, and you look at things that are going around and you kind of wonder, am I the only one that has taken the red pill? Am I the only one that sees that? So to me, it's really good news that, so, okay, maybe they aren't protesting, maybe they aren't you know, twerking in their bikinis like that idiotic representative was doing in some state. They're not doing stuff like that, but they're quietly saying, oh, no, I don't actually trust what Dr. Fauci says. And they're just not listening. And so when the Denver Post wants to do a story telling us that the forest fires are because of climate change, and then the rain is because of climate change, everything's because of climate change. And in the meantime, the elites who lecture us about it are flying in their private jets here and there, right, and making money. People, I think they're just like, don't believe it, don't believe it, don't believe it.
Well, Dr. Donald said, reading the neighborhood link, which is probably next door, over the 4th, that they're all going to end up in the streets screaming about how horrible fireworks are. Well, that's a Karen's got to next door.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, just, I mean, next door is such an awful place. It's like Karen Central, I think. And I feel kind of too bad for the people who found it, because I don't think they intended it to be that way. But it's just this giant, I think anyway, at least ours, neighborhood whiny kind of session, or people trying to get people to give them free stuff because they've gone through some terrible misfortune, which I'm always skeptical. But anyway, I think, though, it restores my faith that things are going to be okay in the long run, because there are, you look at that, right? There are way more of us than there are of them. And
but they know how to
well, that's the bad part. So we'll get to that in a second. But I think we can talk a little bit about Arizona, because that's one of the other places where you see this happening. I think, I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to, because, you know, Rev was in third and then fourth grade during the peak COVID years. And you could just see what was being taught. You could see how it was being taught. You had teachers who were like too stressed. It's like, why are you too stressed? You're not even doing anything. So parents who are also stressed were having to take over. And this institution that you had trusted, all of a sudden you're looking and they're talking about pronouns. I mean, your kid can't read at third grade level, right? But boy, they really know how to, you know, what pronoun they have to use. And then they get in trouble if they don't use the right pronoun, all that kind of nonsense. People saw that. Parents saw that. And now they don't trust the school system either.
No, they shouldn't trust the school system. Which brings us to Arizona.
Right.
So Arizona this past week, the legislature passed a radical, I mean a radical voucher program where you got about $7,000. It goes with you to whatever school or homeschooling or whatever else you want to do. And it really does away with the public education system in the sense of the public education being a monopoly where you have to go to your whatever you're designated to have to go to. Now, it's going to be interesting. Of course, you don't think the teachers' unions are just going to give up like that. They had a vote in 2018 where they voted down 2-1, much more modest voucher program, but times have changed incredibly in 4 years.
Well, and that's why. I mean, again, people are taking the red pill. I mean, things I think that you wouldn't have seen, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, as much of a pain as COVID was, perhaps it was something necessary to open people's eyes.
It was.
You know, so people could totally. Because
starting in 2018, something called Red for Ed. Which is the most militant portions
of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, they said, oh, it's just because we wear yellow or red shirts. No, no, no. Who are you kidding? Do we have a nice looking guest there?
We do. From the Bahamas is calling up. Hey, if you want to go ahead and comment, go ahead and unmute yourself and jump right in on this. Are you unmuted? There you go.
Yes. Okay. I don't know where to start. Okay, I guess when you were talking about Heidi Gunnell, and what is this big thing about having the hate Trump? It's just, it blows my mind. The economy was so good and everything like that, and then for them to say if they do get in, they say, well, see, aha, and I hate that because he did so much that we wouldn't even know now if he wouldn't have been there.
Right.
Well, that's why they're so terrified. They hate him that much because he's that effective. He's the only Republican that actually got in there, elected, and really did what he said he was going to do, even more than Reagan. And so they're terrified of him. That's why the January 6th hearings are, that the only purpose of the January 6th hearing is try to get him indicted so he can't run for 2024. I mean, that's they know that his power and how much good he did.
It was so like a human red pill. I think you're right. And that's, but you know, but it's not working. Again, people wake up. I mean, you look at these polls that show that if Biden and Trump were to run against each other, Trump would win. I mean, and I agree with you. I don't understand why some of the establishment people want everyone to hate Trump when it's clear he's, I mean, what even Politico acknowledges, he's the most popular politician in America. So why would you try to force people to say they hate him when everyone else likes him?
And they keep throwing Sanchez in up there. Right. And let Sanchez do what he's doing in Florida.
Sanchez, right. In Florida, you mean, right.
Yeah, let him do what he's doing in Florida and let Trump do what he's going to do.
I agree. Totally. And I think DeSantis is smart enough. He goes, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think DeSantis is going to get into a fight with Trump. Do you? I don't.
No. And then, of course, Biden, he did do what he said he was going to do, but people just wasn't listening and didn't think it was going to affect him the way it is.
Excellent point. You're exactly. Exactly. Right. This isn't a mistake. And you're right. He's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And yeah, and everybody just thought, well, that won't bother me. And it has.
Yeah. So maybe I hope people will open their eyes. And then this poll is now that the guy, I know you saw that the thing where they booed him there.
Yeah,
now,
I
wonder if he thinks his money is going to get over that.
I think he does.
No, I think his crooked counters think they are.
I don't know if it will or not. But I find that very telling because that was a group of just Avalanche fans, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't a political organization at all. That was just a group of people who like the Avalanche. And and that's just kind of, and Mayor Hancock got an even bigger booing.
Yeah. I wish I would have been there because I would have broke out my mic and asked, because I don't live that far from there. I would have asked people around me, like, tell me what's on your mind.
Exactly. So, hey, listen, thank you for chiming in. Chime in. Everybody all wants to go where you are.
Or where your green screen is.
We'll see you later. Thank you. He is right about that. It's, you know, Trump, I don't know why the establishment people are recommending that people say they hate Trump. That's why.
Because they hate Trump. Well, I mean, if you're the Bushes, I mean, you control the establishment. You were all set. Everybody loved you. You know, your kids could be the next president through. Of course they hate him. But why we care? Because the Democrats don't like them. You know, they tolerate the Liz Cheney until she gets thrown out on her katush.
Like I said, that's why Heidi Gnoll, everybody, they all loved her. Denver Post loved her. And all of a sudden they're like, Heidi Gnoll almost immediately denounced John Eastman, mm-hmm. who was Trump's lawyer on January 6th and giving him advice and who's under, that whole thing is a con and a scam too. But again, and so Heidi, if she thought that they were going to continue loving her, she's wrong. And so I think,
she didn't. I mean, she's,
well,
not
she's,
dumb.
Yeah, she's been around.
Yeah, I mean, she avoided Kyle Clark.
But here's the thing. I think though, if she's smart, if I were her campaign advisor or any of them, I'd be like, don't even talk about it.
I'd spend all my time in the war room.
Well, exactly. And I think I would also go back to this thing. The people don't trust the institution. I mean, that's shocking to me. I was at a going away party Friday for a photographer I used to work with at Fox 31. And it was depressing. I left after an hour. All the people there hate their job. And, and they're like, although where else are we going to go? I'm like, well, anything's better than working every day at a job you hate. But and then to have to go into work at a job you hate and know that no one else likes you and no one trusts you. I mean, that's astonishing that only 11% of the people surveyed have any kind of trust in television news. It's like, but again, they've earned that, right? I mean,
Clark has worked hard to get there.
And I think they don't trust it either way, right? You know, I think people then, and hopefully seek out things like this podcast or they go to websites. I mean, the corporate media used to control things and then they just threw in totally. I mean, their concept of journalism anymore isn't even remotely that you should be unbiased or objective. It should be advocacy journalism.
It's always Trump's debunked, false, not true election claims. Now, 20 years ago, remember it used to be controversial or disputed or something, but it wouldn't be just telling, it's not true. I just want to let you know.
Right,
that
right.
It's not true.
And even though when you say, what exactly is it any true? But I think though, again, it's good because people realize that in getting to Arizona, I think you're absolutely right, Chuck. 5 years ago, a bill for universal vouchers, because that's what it is. Basically, it would say there's like 1.1 million kids in Arizona schools.
Right.
And every single one of them, the parents would get a voucher for $7,000 to be used to go to any private school, whatever school they want to go to.
There would still be public schools. If you want to go to the public school, you could go to a charter school. You could go wherever you want to go. That would be a radical change. It would, in effect, get rid of the teachers unions.
And I think having taken the red pill about teachers and teachers unions, once again, it's hard to undo it. And they continue doubling down at their latest NEA meeting. They're talking about pushing for universal mask mandates, right?
Yeah, right
for critical race theory,
right.
For all kinds of transgender nonsense or gender fluidity nonsense. They're continuing to push for that. I was reading a story in the Washington Examiner and said, not very much conversation about education. Exactly, but trying to maintain their control. And I think, again, once you take the red pill and you see what's actually going on in your kid's school, when you see that the teachers union and the Biden administration want to have the FBI investigate parents for raising up issues at a school board meeting, yeah, which is the whole point, right? And they see what you're trying to do. And I worry about the weaponization of the Department of Justice against people who speak out against the Biden administration and climate change and COVID politically. But I mean, you see pushback when you see so many people not trusting those institutions, right? When you see with Elon Musk, Alex Berenson is a New York Times reporter who was suspended.
Was
suspended from Twitter for talking about the COVID and the vaccines and reporting the truth about some of the numbers. And now that everything he said has been proven to be true,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He sued Twitter. They won a settlement. He's back on Twitter. You know, you got to wonder if some of these big tech companies, I fear that maybe they're plotting in secret again, but the pushback has been huge. I mean, which to me, it makes me proud to be an American, right? That people are saying, no, I don't believe that. And, you know, again, as simple as, and I'm going to set off my own fireworks, you know?
Well, and Joe Biden, now the mainstream press is turned on him and saying it's confusion, it's chaos, it's no one knows what they're doing. And they talked to all these Hollywood people on the phone and the Hollywood people started giving him crap. And
Let's just think about that for a second. And you wonder why no one trusts the presidency, right? So the Biden administration has a major Zoom call meeting with Hollywood celebrities to try to figure out what to do about inflation and the
country. No, it's just about Roe v. Wade.
Oh, just about Roe v. Wade. Can you see that meeting? It's Joe Biden in there with all his 20-something aides who are quitting.
No, it wasn't Joe Biden. It's just the aides.
Just the aides. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what can we do? How can we get them into it? Like, let's call Hollywood. Let's call the celebrities.
Let's get Jennifer Aniston. Let's get them on board.
I don't think they called Johnny Depp. But anyway, so
no, probably not. Amber, though.
They call Hollywood. And now that's going to be annoying because what if you're an A-lister who did it? Like, was Meghan Markle on the call? I mean, I want to know who was on the call and who wasn't on the call. But at any rate, so you call them up and all they do, rather than talk about how wonderful you are and invite you to the next party, is they give you grief
for being a bunch of idiots. Yeah, you're morons, idiots. You're not doing anything. You don't care enough. Why'd we vote for you anyway, morons? And these poor, you know, and you know, if you're an aide, you can't go, shut up, you Hollywood trash.
Really. I mean, you could if you're Trump. Shut up, you Hollywood trash. Why am I even talking to you? It's like, can you get me a ticket to the, you know, to the, what, the new
transgender ball?
Well, either that or the new, you know, the new Minions movie. It's like, you know.
We got some extra tickets for the,
for the Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Because no one's watching it. So whoever was a genius that thought of that, somebody should sit them down and say, look, that's your problem. You see, your problem is you're forced with this. Well, everyone hates you, but you're calling Hollywood celebrities.
Well, you all call it that they let you have, and you go back to your little cubicle at the White House. You know, that was depressing. What am I going to do now?
I mean, and in fairness, if you're Joe Biden, and that's the trouble.
Well, Biden doesn't talk to anybody. You know, they got to lead him around.
Yeah, kind of going,
we got to go, Bill. You can't talk to these reporters. Let's move it.
But it was just, it's just crazy. But yet, in fairness, what is the president supposed to do about it, right? I mean, I guess you could...
He could put, Well, get Kamala Harris, give her famous word salad. I love her word salad.
We need to take it seriously because it's serious.
And you're serious and we're serious.
We're taking it seriously. There we go. Now I have to go now. Although, did you see poor White House? She was giving her speech to this somebody somewhere.
Eubonics Convention.
And
Eubonics Spelling Convention.
Exactly. And they had the White House graphic underneath it spelled Louisiana wrong. And for half an hour, and no one noticed. I mean, when I was in TV, that's because everyone's quitting. When I was in TV, at least somebody would call in and say, take that graphic down. I mean, because to fix it, really, it's not that hard. All you do is go, it's not like it was.
Well, then you have to find somebody who knew how to spell Louisiana.
None of them.
Oh, does anybody know anybody who knows how to spell Louisiana?
We could just Google it.
What if anybody can use Google here? It's too old.
And it's kind of like, so no wonder people have no faith. But I think what's good about that, though, is that people are starting to, I mean, so I don't trust the media. So now I have to look into things on my own. Then you look into things on your own and you start going, wait a minute. And you find out again, there are more people like you. Because I think I was having this conversation with my daughter. And it goes back to what our listener was saying. This, remember, Joe Biden is doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
Nothing.
Destroy things, right? So they can rebuild it. So she was talking about airfare, and she was talking about, because she flies regularly back and forth from like Charlotte to Denver. And she said, normally round trip airfare would be $300, $350 tops, right? She was looking, and for the indeterminate future, as far out as you can go, roughly $800 round trip. And she's like, what? And then bless her heart, because she was so happy about the fireworks, they didn't want to pop, burst the bubble there. She was saying, well, I'll just wait a little bit and it'll come down. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's not going to come down. And it's not going, it can't.
Well, Leo says, if you lose a lot more brain cells, pick your method. Could I get hired to replace Jean-Claude Van Damme as the press secretary? Yes, you could. Because Jean-Pierre is kind of like, what about that call? We don't answer questions about things that are awkward.
Yeah.
I'm not up here to answer your questions. I'm up here to, I don't know what I'm doing.
And then today they were asking her about the Supreme Court justices and packing the court. And she says, I'm moving on from the Supreme Court. And
I'm moving on.
If you're the president, you can move on. But if you're the press secretary, that's your job, is to answer the media questions. You don't get to say,
You can. You can do whatever you want. What are they going to do about it?
Well, they're just
a bunch of sycophants anyway.
But I think, though, the economy, the news is.
Oh, stop worrying about the economy. Inflation is a price you pay for freedom.
That's right.
That's what you pray for dead Ukrainians. So come on.
Well, and they're talking about food shortages, like somehow. They're saying that food, like you saw the flag over the baby formula shortage, which is still not resolved, by the way. And they're talking in Europe, it's the G7, and they got the G20 coming up. And it's not a question of will there be food shortages, it's just a question of how severe is it going to be. And they're kind of like, well, that's a price you pay. And that's all about climate change. When you stop the energy resource development and production, and you prevent or you give the companies that do that kind of investing zero incentive to do the investing, then the supply dwindles. And then,
well, but here's a good thing. The European Commission yesterday declared that nuclear and gas, fossil fuel gas, are green energy. So the problem's over. It's over. We're all set. It's all set.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's sort of like, I've told this story before, years ago when I covered gangs and crime in Denver. One year, the Denver police they solved the gang, and that was politically motivated, but the gang problem by there was a rise in gang-related crime. So what they did is they changed the definition of a gang-related crime.
Yeah.
It had to be, like, they had to say, I, a Crip, shoot you a blood. I mean, if they didn't say that, then it wasn't a gang-related crime. It could be who knows what, even though it involved two rival gang members. So that could be, I guess, if you just declare coal.
Well, they didn't quite go that far yet, but a temporary green energy, maybe. Just amazing stuff.
And again, I think they thought, because of the success they had with COVID and just because they live in such an echo chamber, I think they believe that people would go, I guess, yeah, we have to pay for higher gas prices, right?
Well, they don't really expect to go, yes. They just don't know what else to do. I mean, they spend all their time trying to convince the farmers they shouldn't have any animals because they let off gases. I mean, and so they have all the farmers rioting.
In the Netherlands,
In the Netherlands, we got Boris Johnson, who once again just spends all of his life going, did I say that? I misspoke.
Well, again, these are people I was talking with another friend of mine who's not political at all. And she was trying to figure out, she has two daughters, and she wanted to take him to New York. And she said with air prices, she said, I realized I could afford to take two of us, but I couldn't afford to take three of us. So she's like, because we were talking about it. I'm like, are you guys doing anything?
Just declare one child, no longer a child.
Yeah. And she said, well, I was going to, but she says, I can't afford that. She said, that's a whole, I mean, that escalates it. And so who do you think she's going to vote for? You know, do you think she's going to vote for the people who, and not only that, she's going to vote because she's mad about it. She's like, this is their annual vacation. And she's like, I work hard. I make good money. And all of a sudden I can't afford to take my two children.
Well, that's your problem. You work hard and you get good money. I mean, that shouldn't be allowed. That's
so awful. I think people, and then when they want to start telling us, oh, by the way, now we have food shortages, right? And we're not just, I don't think they're talking about, it's hard to find Fritos. You know, I think they're talking about wheat and things like that, which of course makes sense. When you limit the amount of tractors that run on gasoline and diesel and fertilizer that uses.
No, that's not really the problem. The problem is that both Russia and Ukraine are huge breadbaskets for wheat and other commodities. So the Ukraine's in a war in Russia, they've banned them. So it's
But in this country, though, it's going to be felt too, because again, if you're a farmer, you have to plan a year ahead.
Well,
of
we'll
time,
be
right?
sending all our food over to Europe, like we're doing the strategic oil reserve. They said, okay, we're going to let 1 million gallons a day out right in the process, except it's all going to Europe. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's good for them.
You know, and so I think going back to just tying it all together here with the red pill, I think the red pill has been forced down some people's throats. I saw Dr. Donna earlier was saying it was fed to her in her formula. And then, so that's what we try to do to Rev, right? And there's that. But I think other people who were just going along, you know, happy with the blue pill, all of a sudden they can't avoid it, right? The red pill's been forced down their throats. And so they don't trust any of the institutions, which I think is a good thing. And I don't think you get that kind of trust. You can't turn that around by the midterms, right? You can't turn that around.
Okay.
Well, how though? I mean, that's a thing.
Thermonuclear war.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you never know in politics. Honestly, 4 months is an incredible period of time. Right now, you don't see anything could possibly change it. But, you know, things come up. You just never know. The trouble is just so many bad things are happening. And everything down the road is not looking good. The economy is not looking good. And Biden keeps looking on, but I'm doing a great job. Why didn't everybody recognize I'm doing a great job? Haven't there lots of jobs, even their shitty ones? And they go, well, they're starting to dry up. Oh, no.
Oh, right. And this is from Dr. Donna. Curious. So those who have taken the red pill, be it recently a long time, now in the majority. Well, Dr. Donna, I would say yes. I would say that's what this survey indicates.
But are the counters in the majority?
Well, we'll get to that in a sense for the second part of the show. But I think, yes, the fact that people don't trust institutions. And I think, you know, I think a lot of times in America, there is what I consider to be very healthy. As I said, our founding fathers, the reason they set things up the way they did is because they didn't trust the government to always look out for them. And they recognize that any institution or bureaucracy, we've had John Conlon on, and maybe we could get him back on and talk about this. By its very nature, it's like a living organism almost, right? And it seeks to expand its influence, its territory and power, and to defend itself against anyone who tries to take away that power. But I think they step way too far with some of these COVID restrictions, and that, you know, changed everything. And then when the economy is getting bad, and not just a little bad, but bad enough to where, you know, you can have CNN and MSNBC to try to tell you that no, inflation is a good thing. And that's just, you know, it's just that you can't get your Peloton on time. And people are like, you know, no, I'm looking at the price of meat for my family. They're seeing, what did they saw with the GDP went down again, and all of that is only going to get worse, right? Because so you have prices are high, right? And so people start buying less. So pretty soon, I saw a report today, the number of new jobs available declined for the first time in a long time. Because as people buy less, well, if you're a manufacturer, you need to manufacture more.
Just need to redefine what a job is. Yeah. Being unemployed is
now fully employed. Yeah. But I mean, so all of that, I mean, this is long. It's going to take months to turn
years
if they don't, even if they wanted to turn that around, right? Because now they're producing less. So if you're producing less, well, you need fewer people to produce it, right? So now they don't have jobs. So now more people don't have jobs. So they can't afford what's already out there. It just goes worse.
I think Joe Biden
worse.
Wakes up in the morning and goes, oh God, what's going to happen today? Oh well, no.
And again, as we've talked about a lot on this show, it's by design. I think they want to destroy the economy. They want to force us into they don't want people, you know, driving to jobs. They want people reliant on the government, except for in the meantime. I mean, they forgot that there's this transition period, right? That's great. We can all use solar. But in the meantime, we need to, I saw a picture of like the long lines of electric vehicles waiting in line, like 45 minutes waiting in line to charge their electric vehicle, which takes 45 minutes to charge. And then so now it's run out by the, you know, in the meantime, they're going to have rolling blackouts in California because they can't have any fossil fuels. So they forgot that there's this transition period that people are going to suffer
in. There's not a transition period. There's no likelihood that, unless you start redefining what green energy is what the European Commission did. All of a sudden, you know, suddenly you have nuclear power. Yeah, you could get off fossil fuels if you built enough nuclear plants, but
yeah. Oh, and this is from Leo. Mitch McConnell will F something up before the election.
Oh, he's good at that.
And then Dr. Donna, if so, that makes the claims of some sort of fraud more than possible, especially after seeing this last primary.
Yeah.
You know, now we can talk about that. We're going to have, we've had him on before, and he was the one who talked about J. Christian Adams. And he works with an organization and they look into election related issues and election integrity related issues. And he's the one that talked. He's suing the Colorado Secretary of State because they won't let him see the voter. How do I say it? So they have the voter rolls, and a George Soros funded and founded organization called ERIC is the one that maintains the voter rolls for Colorado, only they never purge anything. And he's suing to try to get to see that. But he did some research, and he'll talk about this on Friday, where they found starting back in 2018, 2019, mm-hmm. Democrats and private organizations started getting together here in Colorado, by the way, is where they were meeting. No conservative groups were put up there to talk about, I guess they would call it get out the vote. I would call it illegal ballot harvesting efforts. And he's been using the Freedom of Information Act request to get emails and letters and meeting reports and things
Johnny
like that.
Johnny Johnson says to everybody, Johnny J is running for HD5, blind but not blindsided.
There we go. There we go. But I think we'll talk about that because I think that is, there are two weapons that they still have they can use. One is to continue this weaponization of any kind of political dissident,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they frisk John Eastman,
right?
And they seize his phone, mm-hmm, where they arrest the wrong Trump advisor outside of his house, based on an interest.
They shouldn't have a name that was similar to it.
Right, exactly. I mean, so that is alarming. You see the January 6th people still in jail without, I don't even know how that's possible. You've got that. And then the other thing is realizing that, you know, again, as we said, the Democrats need a win number in the election. It doesn't have to be tied to an actual real
voter.
Legal voter. It just has to be a win number. And I think that's why they're freaking out so much. There've been a lot of stories like in the past few days about the number of young people who are not voting in the primaries. They thought that the Roe v. Wade thing was going to motivate them, and they haven't seen. In fact, I think it was in Colorado, or maybe it was nationally, they had the lowest young voter turnout in a long
time.
Well,
you may, traditionally, that'd be good for Republicans. It's not necessarily true because Joe Biden's most popular group is 65 plus. So maybe it's not a good sign.
Well, the only thing I wonder is, does that also, Chuck, a reflection of something you pointed out before? And that is that they don't put the ballot harvesting efforts into the primaries as much as they do. So, but because, I mean, if you're a young person, these are the people who move, they're transitory. So it's pretty easy to find an unused young person.
Well, we found it when we went to the rally, and there they were lying on the street,
Yeah. Something like that. So I do worry about that because, you know, again, there isn't any thought in the Democrat Party of changing their policies. There isn't any thought of actually addressing inflation because that doesn't get them to their end goal, which is to destroy the current economy.
Well, they don't know how to address it because they don't know a whole lot about economics.
Well, they don't care.
Well, they don't know and they don't care. Somebody said, well, you know, okay, you don't care, but how about changing it now? They go, well, we don't have.
Well, I mean, the way to do it now would be to reverse all of the Biden administration energy development and resource policies, right? And they don't want to do that. They want to, you know, get rid of fossil fuels. I don't know what they think planes are going to fly on and things like that. But they don't, which I also got to wonder, how much is this current airline mess, you know, something that they want to do too? If they don't want you taking vacations, they don't want you flying places. You've got to think if you're an airline industry, you might be like, hey, wait a minute. You know, maybe we shouldn't be so woke all the time.
Dr. Donna says, hey, thank you for running, Johnny.
Johnny? That's right.
I guess I will plug also DonnaWalker.com, HD53. And somebody said, I assume there are folks from outside of Colorado. Listen, that's right. It's Colorado, HD.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and again, everybody, if you're running for something, please feel free when you come on to identify that, because we want to give people that opportunity, because I think there isn't any place else, you know, where you can get information like that. But I think, you know, again, there's hope. And we'll, I mean, the, in a bizarre way, the bad economic policy, you got to hope that people will in November realize what's going on and vote that. And even if they do, though, it's going to take a while to turn it around. I mean, I think we're in for a painful period one way or the other, but hopefully, hopefully it's painful enough that people try to vote it out. But I mean, you know, you can't reverse. I mean, if you're an energy company, you're going to be like, yeah, well, I'm just going to wait and see what the next whack jobs who come into office try to do, like Jared Polis, right? That's great that now maybe Trump is president again, but in Colorado, we're still banning oil and gas and the regulations are killing us, right? I mean, if you're an oil company, you're like, you know, maybe I'll just go someplace else.
There you go. All right. The cure, shares the cure for high prices is high prices. Unless you're limited supply for essentials, then prices stay high, leaving no money left over for non-essentials. Cabal is cornering the market on essential goods. Yeah, it's particularly all the land up in North Dakota for.
It's interesting that Bill Gates, who is opposed to farm animals, which would replace meat then with vegan alternatives, is now the largest single landowner, owner of farmland. Let me put it that way. The largest farmland owner in the country. And I think the next underneath him is China. So that's reassuring.
Really one and the same.
Well, and it is like with the farmers in Europe where you're like, okay, we need you farmers to produce, to have fewer farm animals and fewer crops. And they're surprised the farmers are protesting.
Yeah,
that.
Well,
it's like,
what?
It's like, wait a minute. That's what it's like. If you make widgets and the government tries to tell you, yeah, for reasons that are going to destroy you, but are good for the climate, you can't make any more widgets or you need to make.
So if you were all these establishment people who got elected in the primaries, how would you go about rallying the troops, since most of the troops you don't like?
Well, some people are going to disagree with me on this.
No,
I'm gonna push back a little bit on that, and I'm gonna look at somebody like Eric Odlin, and I'm gonna look at somebody like Heidi Ganahl, and I guess I would say I don't know that they. In fact, I would, with Eric, who we've spoken to, I would flat out say I don't think Eric Odlin doesn't like us. I think. The reason that I supported Laurel Eimer,
Joe O'Day doesn't like us.
He gave me a donut. His people did.
Hugh McCain doesn't like you.
Well, okay, but I just mean I'm not. I would say.
But how would you go about it? I guess Heidi Ganahl, I think it's pretty bright going on Steve Bannon's War Room,
right?
Which is a way of reaching out to get to conservatives and stuff. So you know they've got all this money from Anschutz. I mean, just all the money they could possibly ever want. Not as much as. The governor, of course, but still millions. But I don't know how you go out there and say, yay.
Well, you know, again, this won't happen. But if I were them, because the media is going to try to, the corporate.
There is no media.
Progressive
no one
media.
Reads it.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. The Denver Post is going to keep asking her to denounce John Eastman.
Well,
right?
Nobody's going
to
read the Denver
and
Post.
Nobody does. But I mean, that's what she needs to keep in mind. If I were them, my advice to you would be, you need to base your answers. You need to, first of all, on what you believe, obviously. But since that's a silly idea, you need to listen to what people are saying to you. And you need to not Who cares what the headline is in a newspaper that no one reads anymore? Who cares what Kyle Clark, who no one watches and no one trusts anymore, who cares what he says, right? And just don't even, just pretend like they don't even exist, right? And I think, you know, go out and talk to people. I think if...
It doesn't do any good to go and talk to people, Julia. I mean, what kind of world do you think this is? Something
bad. What would you do?
What they're going to do, which is pour everything they can into ads and canvassing, try to ballot harvest to the extent they can in high and put millions of dollars into Victor's canvassing.
That'd be the one thing I would do is, again, looking at the fact that most Americans do not trust institutions, I would absolutely put, I mean, we had George Anthonisopoulos on our show last election cycle where it was backwards, right? Mm-hmm. They were putting mm-hmm. all of their money into mailers. Like, right. I don't know how many mailers you got. We got a million and I threw them almost all of them away. And I wouldn't have looked at any of them except for we do the show. So I wanted to see what was going on. I would put it all in people going door to door knocking and saying, have you voted? I would put it all in getting research about the ballot information, mm-hmm. right? The voter information, right? And seeing where are my potential voters? Where are my unaffiliated voters? And go there. Where, I mean, I'd even shoot, you know, Democrats don't like things that are going on either right now. I'd go ahead and knock on their doors too. And I mean, I would put almost all of my effort into that kind of thing. And we got Charlene raising her hand. Hey, Charlene, go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah. Well, you know, the RONOs took part in the castigating and the chastising the extreme white wingers among mm-hmm. us. So now the same thing will be done to them and yes. they won't be able to resist because they've already taken part in it. So they gave up, you know, part of the battle right there when the Democrats will attack now on the very same thing the RINOs attacked with. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to win, but I will say the strategy of splitting the conservative vote is happening all throughout the country and yes, it's getting yes. RINOs elected. It's not just Colorado.
Oh, you're right. Right.
Yeah. And so if the RINOs do win, we're just going to have a continuation of the existing policies. Right. And that is, you know, that is the thing you have to face. If you can't face it, you can't fix it. And people aren't willing to face that fact right now. They'd rather cope with thinking, you know, the RINOs are going to turn out good for them. But we've already seen they don't turn out good for us. You but know, we're kind of in shock and awe right now. So, right. you know, I'm leaving it up to Chuck to figure it out.
Well, we're going to have two. So listen in on Friday. We're going to have Ash Epp on also, Ash in America. And that was, she was talking to Chuck today. Mm-hmm. And she was, her theory is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is that perhaps we need to let the Republicans in Colorado become a minority party. You know, I mean,
that's just like, you know, we're out of our tribal, you know, we're out of our tribe when we do that. And the herd instinct wants us to stay together. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's like they're so easily infiltrated and they're so yeah. easily snookered. And, you know, I just heard Mike O'Donnell complain on Facebook, like, how can anyone say that, you know, I went in there splitting the vote. Well, that's exactly what happened. And he right. knew that there was a conservative warrior in the race yes. in the form right. of Tina Peters. He knew right. that she'd been in the race for about 5 or 6 months. So he knew that he would split the vote.
Yes. And well, you got to wonder, and this is, I mean, I don't know, what do you think about him in particular? But I think that, as Chuck has pointed out, that is a tactic, right? You, if you're
one of the establishment person. It was a strategy all over the country.
No, that's what they did with Lamborn's thing. He got a couple people, including the marijuana grower, did nothing. I mean, he made no effort, but it was enough that Lamborn could win with a minority of the vote, but in a plurality.
Right.
So it's
right. Right. And so, you know, even the good Republicans can hardly see that. So but unless we expose it, then we're not going to see it. So anyway, but that's their strategy. But we need to come up with our own strategies. You know, we don't yeah. need to be reacting to their strategies. But right. all right, that's all I've got.
Okay, thank you, Charlene. Well, and I think, you know, in one way, you just keep fighting. Like, we'll go this Thursday, Adams County Republican Party is having a meeting and we'll go there. And I think we saw in the assembly, at least in Colorado, the grassroots significantly won there. And I think we also saw, and again, that nobody explains the statistics this way, but when you look, they all proclaim, hello, the RINO was set. I won't even call them RINO. I'll say the moderate Republicans won. Well, that's not actually, they won the race, but they didn't win. Mm-hmm.
majority.
The majority. So if you look at the numbers, actually, the anti-establishment candidates as a whole and across the board.
No, not across the board, because for governor and senator, there are only two.
Okay, except for governor and senator. Okay, but across and the other races, the moderate candidate would have lost if there had just, well, you can't say that, but there are more people voting against the moderate candidate than voted for it. And even in the Senate and the governor's race, there wasn't a landslide.
No, 69 points.
Yeah, I mean, it was just I mean, it was significant enough. It wasn't like,
well, but it was a massive, you know, among the half million Republicans and voted and a quarter million unaffiliated. So in a lot of counties, the unaffiliated succeeded the Republicans in the Republican Party primary. So, I mean, what kind of Republican primary is where the majority of the people are not Republicans?
Right. And so, and Charlene, we're going to talk about that too for everybody with Kevin Lundberg. He pointed that out. He said, as you guys know, we've been fighting hard to make the Republican primary be, you know, only Republicans can vote in it. In this race, we saw a huge impact. And Charlene, as you mentioned, not just in Colorado, but around the country, that unaffiliated voters are having. And like I said, that'd be kind of like, you know, letting the LA Rams do the draft pick for the Denver Broncos. Why would you want to do that, right? Why would you want to let people who don't even want to be part of your party select your party's candidate? Yeah. I mean,
right, the Rhinos wanted that to happen.
Well, because they thought it would benefit them.
And it did.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And I guess a little.
The Rhinos had every opportunity to keep that from happening,
yes,
and they didn't let it happen. So
I was encouraged. Alabama is going to try to change from a open primary to a closed primary. And I think you're absolutely right, Shirley. And across the country, people are saying, wait a minute.
Wait, yeah, why are we doing that more? And I guess we'll wait and see what happens again in Colorado, because I would argue, you know, the establishment and the corporate media are taking victory laps. But this was like what really matters and what happens in November. So if you give us another moderate, if Joe O'Dea loses to Michael Bennett, at that point, I'm going to say, okay, seriously, you've had every chance.
In the biggest red cycle ever.
In the biggest red cycle ever. And your moderate milquetoast candidate can't win. So maybe, just maybe, we should try something different. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll have Ash Epp on Friday, along with J. Christian Anderson and
Adams. Yeah, talking about election. And you know, it'll be interesting when we say, let's look for solutions, talk to Ash and see what she's got going on. She's also a columnist in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle.
That's true.
Remember, you can get all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. We're on Rumble, Substack, all over the place. Love to have you subscribe. On Substack, you can subscribe to us for free. And you can subscribe to us anywhere for free, actually, too. But thank you to all the folks who go ahead and help us, support us too, by subscribing. Thank you to the guys at BBS, and thank you to everyone on Zoom.
Everybody take care and vote for Johnny and vote for Donna
Walker. Dr. Donna, we'll see you on Friday.